The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The truth is, some of you are here as guests and you're visitors. You're here because somebody dragged you here and you owed him a favor. Some of your parents said, no, we got to do this or else. Some of your kids said, please, will you show up? But I need you to understand, we're not going through all of this to try to entertain anyone, because you can go pay a ticket someplace and be entertained. I need you to understand the people who have worked really hard at this for a long, long time actually believe what they just sang. You see, we really do believe that God came for us. And if God's for us, and if God loves us like that, how can we not respond? How can we not give him glory? How can we not worship him? Gloria in excelsis. Deo. Glory to God in the highest. Would you pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. I'm grateful for this story. I'm grateful for these people who have gathered across not just the St. Louis area, Lord, but across the country and even the world. God, we're grateful that we get to do this together. But I pray right now, no matter where we are on this spiritual journey, I pray that we'll hear your voice today. that help us just not go through like the holiday checklist. God, don't let us slip into a sugar-induced coma right about now. Don't let us think that religion and tradition are all we need to go through. God, we want to hear your voice. We want this to be personal. So shock us, encourage us, surprise us, woo us, inspire us, comfort us. But speak to us now through your story. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so you guys can have a seat. While you're having a seat, everybody up here is going to be kind of moving things off and everything. And thank you so much. And I want to just take this opportunity. First of all, let's just say hi. Let me tell you, we're in, like, I think this is the fifth, right? This is the fifth of 32 and a half services we're doing this Christmas. So glad you're here. It's like third quarter, so we're grateful. And I just need you to know that we've had people joining us from Brazil and the UK and South Africa and the Middle East and all sorts of places. So if you're watching us online, then thank you and welcome. But I want to say hello to those of you at Grant's Trail and at Fenton and Mid Rivers, those of you who are in the Hub, those of you who are in the Loft, those of you who are here, wherever you are, will you help me now thank hundreds and hundreds of volunteers who served you in ways you may not have even realized. Will you just help me with that? Yeah. Cool. All right. Okay. Let's get after this. You ready? Let's just do this. We're going to tell the story. It's the week before Passover, and this young prophet has stirred things up with his miracles and his teaching, and everybody is wondering, is he the one? Is he going to ascend the throne of Israel? Is he, in Old Testament terms, is he Messiah? So he's riding on this young donkey colt, which kind of really throws people, because that's kind of a code for him thinking that he's Messiah. He's acting like he's Messiah. The place comes undone. And this is what they say in Luke 19, verse 37. When he, this is Jesus, came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives. So he's curving around this mountain towards Jerusalem now. The whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They are quoting a really important psalm, and they're aiming it at Jesus. They are beginning to worship Jesus as if he is God. The religious leaders are not liking this at all. The Pharisees now come to Jesus and say, you better shut them up. Jesus' response to them is stunning. Because he doesn't apologize and he doesn't go, oh, sorry, we just got a little out of hand. I'll tell him to turn it down. Jesus receives the worship like he deserves it. Now, think about that for just a second, some of you. Only God and delusional people who think they're God receive worship. So you can't walk around saying, well, yeah, Jesus is a really good guy. He's a really nice guy, but he's not God, because Jesus right here is saying, no, I am God, and he's receiving this. In fact, look at what he tells these fellas. I tell you, if they, these people, keep quiet, the stones will cry out. The very creation will cry out. That's what Jesus is saying as he goes into Jerusalem that day. And I know what some of you are thinking right about now. Bless his heart, Edna, he thinks it's Easter. I know it's Christmas. It's Christmas. Okay, here, this will help you. So, there, it's Christmas, all right? And let me tell you who's at the center of the story. In fact, you take him away, you've got nothing. Now, I think it's important to look at the Christmas text and to look at the narratives and to understand what happened. I also think it's really helpful to look at other scriptures that help us to understand what it all meant. And speaking of help, you've probably noticed, or maybe you haven't yet, but I've got an artist that's here. Yeah, just wave to everybody, Jeremy. So Jeremy's helping. We have young artists all throughout the week that have been helping us with this, and we let them out in between services, so don't worry. But we're going to kind of tell the story here. Now, let me just go back into this. What could you have learned from what we just read? Did you notice that what the disciples were saying was an echo of what the angels said at the beginning? Like, the angels at his birth said something, and it echoes really in the last week of Jesus' life. And you hear words like peace and glory to God in the highest. You see, Jesus, throughout the whole story, is king, but I might be getting ahead of myself. So let's do this. Let's go into the traditional Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. But before we do, this helps us around here. Would you guys, it's a good way to learn. It's a good way to keep everybody awake. It's a good way to, just for us to help each other. And for those of you who just can't like go 10 minutes without doing something on your phone, this is going to give you a chance to use your phone. So all it works in so many ways. So I'm going to give you a question. You're going to talk to each other. And then those of you who have our app will know how to ping us. And you tell me what your answers are, and we'll work with it. So what's the question? What's your favorite word in the Christmas story? All right? Those of you who know how to reach us, you can, and you're like, I don't know the Christmas story that well. Well, maybe somebody next to you does. What's your favorite word or words in the Christmas story? Like, what are you hoping for? What are you longing for? Talk to each other. Hang out. It's okay to talk in church. Pastors are going to be moving around all of our rooms. We'll get these answers, and we'll keep going. All right? All right. Okay. All right. We've got one more time where we're going to be talking to each other. So let me just, let me get one here. Anybody out there got anything for me? Baby, of course. So we want baby Jesus. You can't do this without him. All right. Yes. Somebody in the back there. Yes. What was yours? Yes, ma'am. Angel, of course, angels. We've got to bring the angels into this. Let me get one that just came into us, and maybe somebody here was the one who said it. You'll shoot your eye out. For the record, wrong Christmas story, okay? But we're going to work with it, all right? We're going to work with it. We can do this. We can do this. Anything else anybody got for me here? Yeah, front row. Mary, of course, Mary. So we've got Mary and we've got Joseph, and they're just essential to the story. I mean, they're so faithful, weren't they? I mean, they were so good. Shepherds, of course, the shepherds are here. This is Bethlehem, so let's just put this here. Now, let's just jump into the story a little bit. First thing that you'll notice, somebody said magi or wise men, so let me write that down. Okay, so here we go. First thing that you'll notice when you look at this story is that it's the supernatural is all over it. I mean, you just can't deny it. I know some of this stuff it's a jolt to the ears when you read it out loud. While you've got angels moving in and out of the thing, you got visions, you got dreams, you've got this miracle birth. What? And so some of us have difficulty with that. Let me just give you this much for now. We talk about this around here, but people who come to me and say, well, I have difficulty with the supernatural. Okay, let's talk about that. You might be struggling with, it's a circular trap. Let me put it to you this way. There's some people who say, well, you've either got to pick between an anti-science religion or an anti-religion science, but you can't have both. Well, here's the deal. You can reject that. That's a trap. There are world-renowned scientists like Francis Collins, head of the Human Genome Project, who will tell you he believes Jesus is the Son of God. There are the pastors here will tell you that we're not afraid of science. So you can do both. But when I say that I believe in the supernatural, what I'm saying is that there is more than what you and I can explain in the natural realm, which means that you can't explain everything with science. I'm sorry, some of you are like, well, it's everything in science. When you now have spent time with your family in the next day or so, and at some point you look at somebody and you're filled with love, is that a chemical reaction? Or is there something you can't quite put your finger on? All I'm saying is that there is more to this than we can explain in the physical realm, and I am willing to acknowledge that there is a God that I can't explain, which now takes us to the deeper parts of the story. Joseph and Mary are caught up in this thing. They're obedient to him. But sure enough, just as was told to them, in Bethlehem, when they're there registering for taxes, the miracle baby is born. He's wrapped in strips of cloth, which is what peasant couples would have done back then. They tuck him in a feeding trough. We call it a manger because there was no room for them anywhere else. It's an extraordinary story. And the first people to hear news of this story are, in fact, the shepherds that live in Bethlehem. And how did they hear it? The angels, whichever one of you said angel, it was an angel that did this. Now, what did the angel say? Here it is. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Now, it's a little late because they're already afraid, but really what's going on here in the Greek, that word is megas phobeo. It means really afraid, like mega afraid. That's how afraid they are. The glory of the Lord is around them. So let's just put glory here. Glory is a word that we've talked about a little bit already, but glory is a difficult word. It means splendor. It means the power, the brilliance, the majesty. It's everything that God is. It's the of God. One day Moses in Torah says to God, let me see your glory. And God says, it'll blow you up, son. You can't handle it. One way to think about it is that you can enjoy the sun, but you can't look directly at the sun for very long. If you look very long at the sun, its brilliance, its blinding light will destroy your eyeballs. So the glory, the blinding brilliance of the God who, when he speaks, how do we say it around here? 100 billion galaxies are born. When that God is, his glory is surrounding you, these guys are afraid. We'll come back to why. But know this, there is a public announcement that has now been made. And it's similar to what happened in the Roman Empire. In Rome, when say Tiberius, when he ascends the throne and becomes the emperor, there was an announcement throughout the entire empire. Somebody would say, not angels, but somebody would make a public announcement. On such and such a day, so-and-so became emperor. And they would even call this good news a gospel. So what we have here is the angels announcing the king of the universe born in Bethlehem today. It's amazing, but these shepherds are being told everything has changed. And what's the news? Well, look, let's just read it. It's famous. We know this. Fear not, for behold, pay attention. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Let's write that down. For all the people. For you, to you today in the city of David, is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, these guys are about to just get unglued. These shepherds are about to, they're so filled with wonder. But before I tell you what they did, how about if you go right back to your discussion groups, and I want you, this is a little bit of a longer question. But, and by the way, if you weren't pleased with your last group, this is your chance to upgrade, okay? Just be nice, it's Christmas Eve. But when was the last time you were filled with wonder? When was the last time you were filled with wonder? We ask this question, adults struggle with this more than kids, but go ahead, you guys know how, talk to each other, it's okay, we do this in church, and then you tell me your answers in just a minute. Go ahead. All right. So pastors are kind of getting some of these, and they're giving me some of those answers from around the other sites. Let me give you a few things, and then you guys tell me. Waterfalls in Portland. Okay, that's cool. We got a lot of nature things. When I saw the Pacific Ocean, when I'm in the countryside, We've got a lot of child baby answers. Seeing the ultrasound of my first baby, that's cool. When our baby was born. Here's one. Oh, wow, this is current. When he asked me to marry him last night and I screamed, yes. All right, wherever you are, congratulations. Yeah. All right. How about the rest of you? When was the last time you were filled with wonder? Anybody like here in the middle sections? Anybody got anything for me? Yeah, that moon. Was that last night? A couple of nights. Oh, that was intense. Yeah, yeah. When that kid screamed during worship, that was awesome. Yeah. It's good. It's good. Responding. Yes. Anybody back here? Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's a different kind of wonder. Let me just catch people up. It's a good answer. Let's catch it up. So when I'm in my room playing a game and my brother's next to me and I'm wondering what he's doing. Okay. All right. That's excellent. That's excellent. By the way, does this freak you guys out that I'm getting this close? Some of you actually sit up here for a reason, don't you? That's okay. We had a lot of school answers, So, you know, there was wonder that I passed my first exams. There was wonder that some of you are like, oh, now I am wondering if I passed my first exam. So, yes, ma'am.
A little child walked up to him earlier and rubbed his arm.
So a little child walked up and rubbed your arm and just, yeah.
Walked away.
Just giving you a little bit of Christmas love.
Yeah.
I love that, man. That's cool. So let me now give to you the wonder of these angels. So they're filled with wonder. The question is, really, it's the big question we're going to have to deal with. What do you do with wonder? Like, your heart gets full. What do you do with that? Look at what the angels did. In fact, here's a famous verse, but let's just look at this. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. That just means there's like an army of angels now praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. What do you do with wonder? Well, I'm going to show you now how this wonder, this good news, can fill you with wonder today. But first, I got to give you a little bit of the bad news, all right? Let's go back to why the shepherds were afraid. When the shepherds were afraid, let's just understand that the blinding brilliance of God makes it very clear to people really quickly. He's God, we're not. Light will do that for you. It'll kind of show you where all the cracks and the ugliness is. You see, this is really a tragic part of our story because we were actually made to live in the presence of God's glory. But our first parents pulled away from his love and his leadership, and the story has been messed up ever since, and it's been falling apart, and the world itself has been falling apart and broken. When you see volcanoes causing tsunamis in Indonesia, the Romans 8 says that the world itself is groaning for the Creator to make things right. But we humans have always struggled with this lie. I think it'd be better if I was in control. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you're a control freak, but I am going to say that most of us want to be in charge. In fact, for some of you, I'm not trying to be too blunt here, but for some of you, the reason you struggle with the concept of a God is because you like to be in charge. It's not an intellectual thing. We talk about that stuff all the time. It's a heart thing. I'm the boss of me, and I'd like it to stay that way. Some of you are going, well, I'm not at odds with God. The book of Romans says until you can get to a place where you actually admit this, you're not at peace with God. So you're like, no, I can fix this. I'll just do good things. I'll walk old ladies across the street. I'll be nice to dogs. You know, I can do this. See, there's the control thing again. You think it's all you, but it's not. The truth is, what you need is help. What you need is a gift. Because here's the thing. Even if God kept score the way we think he does and he doesn't, but even then, none of us are ever going to measure up. He's God. We're not. So we're going to need help. We're going to need a gift. We're going to need grace, which by definition is a gift. Well, how does that happen? How does God make things right? I'm so glad you asked. What did the angel say? A Savior was born. I don't need a Savior. Hang on a second. If you don't need a Savior, it's not a new thought, then you don't need Christmas. Because the good news of the angels was a Savior was born. He's Christ the Lord. There's another term I'm going to use now. The ancient prophets used this term referring to the one that would be born, Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the moment when God steps into the story in flesh and blood. Now, gang, listen to me real carefully. This is one of those things in the heart of the historic Christian faith that unites Catholics and Protestants, Baptists and Episcopalians, Methodists and Lutherans, Presbyterians and Charismatics, mega churches and house churches. We confess that Jesus is God in the flesh. Now, if you think about it, that's actually kind of absurd. So the Lord of the universe is going to have his diaper changed. It doesn't make sense in some ways that God would humble himself like that. Why would God do that? The book of Hebrews says, so Jesus becomes flesh and blood, so that God could die to break the curse, the stranglehold that evil and death has on the story. This is a big, mysterious part of the story, but I'll just tell you this much. This king was always coming to a cross. You see, really and truly, what you see in this story is that always Jesus was heading towards a cross. Now, when he's walking into Jerusalem that day, he's not going to do battle with Rome. He's going to do battle with evil. He's going to take all the consequences of all of the ugliness and sin that has soaked human history upon himself. This is what will make things right. This is, how much does God love you anyway? Well, let's try it this way. Did you know that today is the 50th anniversary of something kind of a big deal in science? It's the Apollo 8 moon shot, the mission to the moon. Apollo 8 was I had like three services ago, there was a guy, just certain demographic, age demographic, that was sitting like right there. And he's like, no, man, it's all fake. You got to watch YouTube. Stanley Kubrick did all of this. I'm like, no, remember, science, faith. We like science. We like facts. So this really did happen. NASA really did send somebody to the moon. The Apollo 8 mission didn't land on the moon. Their job was to just take pictures of the surface in preparation for when a future mission would land. Now, on December 24th, 1968, something happened that had never happened before. I want you to listen to the audio of these astronauts going back and forth over something, because they see something that no human being has ever seen before, and they didn't expect to see it. This module is rotating now. Two little windows in the front of it.
On the south side and the floor of it, you're leaving because there is one dark hole. Oh, my God, look at that picture over there.
They saw it.
Earth coming up. Wow, is that pretty?
It's the first Earthrise ever seen. So the Earth is coming up over the horizon of the moon.
Got a color film, Jim? Quick.
Listen to them. This is in the age of black and white film. They're scrambling to get color film in the camera. Listen to these astronauts
now. Here, just grab me a color. A color exterior. Hurry up. Hey, I've got it right here. Let me get out this way. It's a lot clearer. Bill, I got a phrase that's very clear right here. Got it?
Yep. Thanks, several of them.
Here, give me a minute.
Let's get the right setting.
They're just going back and forth. They're so excited. It's the first time that we saw our home like that. It's become an iconic picture, really, of the 20th century. Now, what's really interesting is that was 238,000 miles away. Let's back it up just a tad. Let's say, 4 billion miles, okay? The Voyager exploration mission was to take pictures. They sent an unmanned module out to take pictures of the outer edges of our solar system. So that's Neptune, Saturn, Pluto. Oh, Pluto. Remember Pluto? So it was to take pictures of all of that. And then in 1990, right before it leaves the solar system, scientists told this thing to turn back around and face towards Earth and take one more picture just to see. I hope you were smiling that day if you were alive, but this is what it was. It actually is a fairly famous picture now. Look at this. It's one of the first digital photos ever taken. Now, that yellow line there is just sunlight that is refracting off of the lens. This is less than one pixel of information of one of the first digital photos ever taken. Now zoom it in and we're gonna clean it up just a little bit. But that's home. Carl Sagan was an astronomer who said some pretty interesting things about this when he saw what he called the pale blue dot. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. There is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. It is up to us. Whatever is wrong with us and this planet, it is up to us. Now listen, when he sees this, he's left with a pervasive feeling of loneliness, and it's on us, and I wonder how we're gonna get through this. When I see that, even from 4 billion miles away, I'm beginning to think, well, the universe is really big. Do you know how big the universe is? Let me put it to you this way. Do you know how big the sun is? It's really, really big. I know technical terms, but here it is. Aaron, come on out. But the sun, like, you could put over 1 million Earths together to make a sun. That's the Earth, that's the sun. So the sun's really big, right? How big is our galaxy? Listen to me, this is where it gets, if our sun was the size of one white blood cell in just one of you, the Milky Way galaxy would be as big as the U.S. The sun is one white blood cell in one of you, and the Milky Way galaxy, just the Milky Way galaxy, is as big as the U.S. So how big is the Milky Way galaxy? Not very big, actually. Look at how it stacks up to others. We're just that little dot you can't see. And these are just three others of many galaxies. In fact, show the next picture from the Hubble telescope. Those aren't stars. Those are galaxies. The universe is 93 billion light years across. So when I see that one pale blue dot, I can go the way of Sagan and say, we are an insignificant speck of dust. Or I can read Psalm 8 that says, when I look at your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? God, how could you care about us? One more, let's try it one more way. Aaron, when you, I mean, thanks for doing all this music and the arranging and the directing and all that. I know, you don't want to hear that. But I want to talk to you about a particular Christmas carol and just one part of it. But first I want to ask you, and we're doing this differently than we have each time. So when you, Aaron scores films and documentaries, and so like when people contact him on the coasts and, you know, he'll write the music for these things. Tell me just a teeny bit of that process.
Yeah, so I get just the pictures with no sound usually.
Okay.
And I ask a lot of questions. What is the story about? Tell me about the characters. What's the emotion? What's the heart of the story? Where are they going? What's the story going?
So you are literally watching a movie with nothing. You need to know the story, but you're looking for the heart of it.
That's right.
And that kind of gets you to certain things?
Yeah.
Okay, so now let me put you on the spot. that whole offering thing.
Yeah.
Of course, there was a famous song, and then there was part of a worship song, but everything else you wrote, you composed, you arranged. How do you get to that?
Well, one night, I thought, what would that Christmas carol sound like in Narnia? And so that's where I started.
And so play, like, what was it? Like,
I was kind of...
You know, in heaven, I'm going to be able to do that, just for the record. And you guys can come up, and I'll play anything you need, and it'll be great. So you're feeling that, and you're writing that.
Yeah.
And then what did it get to? Remind us what we heard at
the
offering.
Oh, it went to Reckless Love, so I thought, well, I've never heard those two together. Let's try it and see what happens.
Yeah, and so that's how it got to that. Now, you and I also talked about a Christmas carol song that's important to both of us, and I told you what I thought was the heart of that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just give me a 6/8 feel, if you would. Ave. No, I'm not doing that song. I'm sorry. Some of you are like, what? He's doing that song? No. Sorry. It's just too easy. We sang it a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, O holy night. The stars are brightly shining. So Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. It just means the world has been longing, aching. It's groaning for things to be made right. And here's the heart of it. Here's the thing that makes the song. Then he appeared. And the soul, one of you said soul, the soul felt its worth. You see, God showed up, and that's it. You can either go Sagan's route and say, we're just insignificant, or you could say, God came to an insignificant corner of the Milky Way galaxy for me. And when that happens, you are filled with what? Wonder. But it didn't just stop with that. Jesus said, I came, but I have come to be a ransom for you. I know what it's going to cost. Jesus did this, paid a price. I can't repay him in 1,000 lifetimes. It gets even better. Then God says that God raised him from the dead after 3 days. And so part of what we see is that we now have a second chance, and we have hope, and we believe this. And this is really who we are. If you want to know what this church is, what really any church is, let me tell you what a church isn't. A church isn't a building. A church isn't an organization. It isn't a set of bylaws. It isn't a rule book. That's not a church. From a biblical perspective, a church is simply the people of God drenched in his grace, and they have been called out into this world. That means that we are not people who just get really comfortable and say, I'm just going to snooze till heaven someday. We who have been enjoying this peace with God, we're now sent into the world. You want to talk about how this works? The good news is for all people. We're the ones who have been sent into the world. You see, once you have peace with God, then you're the broker of peace for people who only speak in outrage. Once you belong to God, you're the one who gets to talk about hope when everybody else gives up. You're the one who says, no, words matter, and let me show you words that can heal and inspire. We've been called to this together. And part of what we do is that we get to do this in a way that gives glory and credit to God. What did Jesus say that day going into Jerusalem? If y'all are quiet, the very creation will cry out. When was the last time you were filled with wonder? For me, one time that came up was when I was sitting on this observation deck at this lodge in the deepest, like you can't get there from here, part of Namibia in southwestern Africa. Now, I was so grateful to be there because, to be honest with you, I had just been discharged from a Namibian hospital. Some big bad cootie had crawled up in me, and I was as sick as I might have been ever. I'll spare you the details. Merry Christmas to you. But I will tell you this. I was so grateful to be there. So I'm sitting there, just barely there. I've got one girl sitting on the edge, like on the arm of the chair. I've got another girl that was sitting on my knee at that point because they were that age then. And we can see as far as you can see into the African plain. Many of you talked about creation filling you with wonder. I could see so far out that it felt like we could just see the horizon out there, and a thunderstorm started rolling in. If you've ever had a chance to see a thunderstorm roll in when there's no light pollution from artificial light, when that lightning crackles across a black palette, it's something. And then the untamed wild animals coming out of the bush to this watering hole. You could feel the wind kind of start to pick up. One of the guys with us picked up a guitar and actually started playing. And I'm like, this is a movie. This never happens. And people actually started worshiping. I could see it. I could feel it. Rain the size of quarters dropping down. And I heard my children worship. I was filled with wonder. But you don't have to go halfway around the world for that. I was standing in hip-deep water not very far from here. And I saw hundreds of you participate in an ancient rite of baptism where you told the watching world that you belong to Jesus. Some of you, against all odds, you're the one who said, I'm with him. And I was filled with wonder. I'm watching some of you face a tough diagnosis. I'm watching husbands and wives do the hard work of rebuilding a marriage instead of bailing out. I've watched friends forgive each other and move on. I've seen people give outrageously to folks they'll never meet this side of heaven. And I'm filled with wonder. But let me give you just one more. It's new to me. When little fingers curl around yours and they belong to a little girl who belongs to one of those girls that was sitting on your lap in Africa, God, how good are you? You're filled with wonder. What do you do with that? Just sit there and go, Or do you give it back to the God who deserves it all? I don't know how else to say this, but you have been invited into the story of all stories. God has come for you. There's just no mountain high enough. There's no shadow he won't light up. There's no door he won't kick down. God came for you. What do we do with that? I say we worship. I'm okay with the stones and the rocks and the trees and the stars all joining in. I'm okay with the angels joining in, but I'm not waiting for any of them. It's our turn. I'm so glad you came today. Merry Christmas. You remember the story that you've been invited into because it's all been done for you. But now, if you're ready, I'd love for you to worship this God who deserves it. Let's give him the glory. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Would you stand with us?